testimony of God's marvelous grace. Our Christmas Day service was also a very rewarding time. Believers were encouraged to invite neighbors and family members, and about 90 souls came and heard of the gospel of Christ. There were many first-time visitors. Sister Pushpa, one of our teenage girls, had been praying for more than a year for her parents to come to church. They also came. Perhaps the greatest thing I noticed in 2021 is how our church has begun behaving more like a family. It is not just the church leaders who are doing the work of the ministry. Everyone is contributing, every joint supplying. And the fellowship is sweet. There is more of a sense of unity than ever before. Our church is maturing. Of course, we know that what this means, it is bittersweet. By God's grace, we have been teaching, training, and preparing this local church to become an independent, autonomous, and indigenous body. And I believe the time for that transition is approaching. How long will it be until we begin that transition? The Lord knows. Please help us pray for His wisdom and timing. It is His work. We are grateful to be part of it, and you are also partakers with us. We are planning a furlough this year for 2022. I have been busy contacting our supporting churches, especially those we were not able to visit in our last furlough, to schedule a time to come by and give an update. However, because of changes in leadership, contact information, I've not been able to get in touch with everyone. So he's, just says, if you'd like us to come, we'll come. So I think they were with us on their last furlough, so I'm not sure they'll make it on this furlough to give us an update. But I really like the Wounds. They're a good family, and just continue to pray for them. And it's probably, as he said, a bittersweet thing when you have worked with people for so many years. You're the one who's led them to the Lord. You're the one who has gotten them from spiritual infancy into becoming mature Christians. And then you realize the time is coming where we're going to step aside and go to another area in the country and start another church. There are different men that he mentions on occasions that are national pastors or men who have been called to ministry. So I think he has men that he can turn this over to. So pray for that, that God would just help them through that transition time. Another thing is their daughter is graduating, and she will be coming stateside to further her education. So those are all difficult times, you know, for anyone, any parent, when your child is going to leave the home. For most parents, they you know, kind of grieve over the empty nest kind of thing. So they have a son, Ben, who's in the Army. Of course, their daughter, Michaela, will be leaving there. And then they have one younger son who's becoming a man. He's already beginning to preach over there. His name is Gabe. So keep praying for all the Wounds. All right, we'll keep that and use that to pray over tonight. We'll go ahead and take our prayer list and look at this evening. So I think everybody has one. Just going to give you a number of updates on folks. On the special needs, Jeff Sims, I think, has an upper respiratory infection, and so he had that this weekend, so I would imagine that's why he's not here tonight. Continue to pray for him. And remember, his sister passed away there in North Carolina, so just pray for his comfort in that. And then he just asked that God would give him wisdom, so we can pray that God would give him wisdom to know how to minister to those in his family, because a number of them are not saved, so this may open a door to get the gospel to them. Also, we want to pray for Brian tonight. He lost his mom yesterday. His mom is here on our prayer list, Mrs. Abraham, on the center page there under the long-term care facilities. Mrs. Abraham had dementia and some other health issues, and they, I guess, took her to the hospital the other night. They returned her to the nursing home thinking that she was going to be okay, but she ended up passing away. She was 84, so pray for Brian Abraham in the loss of his mom. I'm sure even though she was 84, lived a good long life, it's still grief to them, so pray for that entire family. On the physical needs, just make some mention. We'll start on the left-hand side, about six or seven names down, Bob Colbank. This name was given to us last week. This gentleman had a tumor at the base of his brain, and they were able to remove that tumor, and so far he's done very well. So I don't know that I've heard yet whether that tumor was malignant or benign, but we're praising the Lord anyway, they're able to remove that. That's a big deal. And then about another five, six names under that is Dot Easterwood. This is my wife's mom there in Atlanta, and she has COVID for the second time. So it's not anywhere near as bad as the first time. Of course, my father-in-law passed away back in September with COVID when they had it. So this time she's gotten it again, but doing much better. So Katie and Austin and Naomi were all down there visiting her. We're kind of going to take shifts through the year to get down to spend some time with her. And so they were down there, and they all got it. It started with Naomi, then it moved to Katie and Austin. And so they are getting better, but they all still, I guess, technically have COVID, so you can pray for them. Interesting thing, when Katie was at the doctor when she was diagnosed with COVID, the doctor said that she has been treating one of her patients who has gotten COVID 3 months in a row. 3 months in a row. I told my wife, that doesn't sound right to me. You know, there's a thing called long COVID, and I have no idea what long COVID really entails. But according to this doctor, this individual, her patient, got COVID, got over it, and got COVID again, got over it, and got COVID again, got over it. So, who knows? These are exciting times, aren't they? Go on down the right-hand side to Vicki Hunniford. She had surgery today on her, or yesterday, cataract surgery. And so continue to pray for Vicki for a good recovery. And then the very last name, Daisy Marsh, she has been sick. And so continue to pray for her. Did get a report that Andrea Electric, her name can be removed. She's over COVID now, so we're grateful for that. Now on the left-hand side, the second name down, Marvin Marsh. This is Tom Marsh's father. And he has dementia and is in need of constant care. Now they're, his wife now has COVID, and there are some special needs physically in her life. So I guess several in the Marsh family, not Tom and his immediate family here, but several others in the Marsh family have COVID. So we've been asked to pray for them. And then the name Christy Shiplett was added today, and this is a friend of Joan Nicewarner's, and she's asked that we pray for Christy, so she's there on the right-hand side. So we'll go ahead now and take any updates or any new requests you have, or a praise if you want us to remove someone's name because they've gotten better, we'll take that as well. So anyone at all? Dave? Okay. What was the last name?
Wiseman.
Oh, okay. All right, so there on the right-hand side at the bottom on the 18th. Okay. All right, so Donald Wiseman with surgery on the 18th. Since you mentioned that, I'll mention also that Marianne Myers, you know, this is, she was supposed to have surgery last week, and then he moved it to March. Don called me today, and they've moved it back to February, so it's going to be February 16th now. So the third time's a charm, so hopefully they won't change it again. So pray for Marianne with that as well. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody have an unspoken request tonight? Just hold your hand up if you do. Okay. All right. Vernon Jane. I can't tell you which one is Vernon, which one is Jane. That's a secret between us, but I walked in one day and Jane was sitting there. I said, "Hey, Vern." So now we have a joke going. I call Jane Vern and I call Vern Jane. But now it's Mr. Jane to distinguish anyway. So I probably shouldn't have said that. Now people are going to start doing that to you. But anyway. All right. Anything else? Anything else? All right. Just a couple of reminders. We have some different folks in here from the New Beginnings class. Don't forget, on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, right here in the Family Life Center for our Winter Olympics activity. And it is going to be fun. We got some strange things that are going to happen there, so I think you'll like it. So that's this Saturday night, just $5 a person's an expensive activity. Also, on Sunday night after the evening Bible study hour, we're going to have our church-wide budget meeting. We'll be looking at the proposed budget for this year and voting on that one way or the other. So if you're a member, make sure that you come for the Bible study hour first and then remain for that meeting afterwards. So I think that's it, if nothing else, anyone else. Okay, we'll put those things to the side, and we'll go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. This is our third week of looking at the subject of angels. I call this the ministry of angels in our lives, and we'll continue that tonight. Now, we got started late because of the excitement downstairs, so I don't know that I'll get through this tonight, but we'll go as far as we can. I was going to try to finish this evening, but we'll see what we can do. So let's have prayer once again, and we'll get right into it. Father, again, thank you for just providence. That pipe in that restroom could have burst tomorrow night or Friday night. No one would have been in the building. And Father, we could have had all kind of problems. You allowed it to happen right as a number of men were here. And so we thank you, even in the midst of what we would consider a frustration, a problem, that you allowed it really to be, in a sense, a blessing. So just thank you for the men who took the time to step aside from their regular responsibilities just to help take care of that this evening. Lord, we just want to thank you for you, because you are good. You are kind. You are loving. So many things that we could say about you, your long-suffering, your gentleness. We just love you, and we want you to know that. Thank you that we can be here this evening just to spend a little time in your word. Use me, give me wisdom, Lord, for those in the teen ministry and all the workers in Awana tonight. Lord, use them in a special way. As has already been mentioned tonight in prayer, if there is someone in our ministry tonight that does not know you, I pray you'd save them. Grateful for hearing of some of our children that have been coming in who have been saved this year. And so, Lord, we ask you continue to do that work. And not only to be saved, but to grow, that our young people would grow, that you do a special work in that as well. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I should have mentioned one other prayer request. My wife, Debbie, she has an upper respiratory infection. She woke up sick yesterday or this morning and went to the doctor, so she has an upper respiratory infection, so you can pray for that too. All right. We begin our study in Hebrews chapter 1, and there in verses 13 and 14 it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" And just remember, the word angel means a messenger or an ambassador. Those angels are used for specific purposes, and of course by their very title, but by what God refers to them as. They are messengers, or God's ambassadors to humanity. In this verse, he says that they minister. They're ministering spirits. And the word minister, as you already know, I'm called a minister, and that just simply means you serve. You know, God calls me. To one degree, the book of Hebrews, the last chapter, says I'm to rule. But much more, he says, I am to minister to people. It's interesting, and God constantly keeps this in the forefront of my mind. And that is what he says about how I am to interact with people. He said, I am to love you as a nurse cherishes her children, to treat the older men as fathers, the older women as mothers, the younger men as brothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. And so that's something I try to focus on, not always perfect at it by any means, but that is something that God calls me to do as a minister. And the angels minister as well. Angels minister to those who are heirs of salvation, and that is the I guess for you and me, our big concern, because we're saved people. And he calls these folks heirs of salvation. It reminds me of Romans chapter 8, verse 7. And if children, and of course we're children of the Most High God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Of course, you know what the word heir means. You and I are inheriting what belongs to God the Father. What belongs to Him belongs to you and me. What belongs to Jesus Christ, we're a joint heir with Him. And all that the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, now listen to this, all, not most, not some, all that has been given to Jesus, the only begotten, is now given to you and me as children. Behold, now my mind's gone blank. There in Hebrews, where he talks about you and me being children of God, that's what we are. And so he says, we are his heirs. We have all these things that are given to us. So we know this, that since we're heirs of salvation and we have all these things that God has provided to us, God uses those angels to minister to us in regard to that. We also looked at angels are not to be worshipped. We look specifically at Revelation chapter 22, and I'm just recapping right now, verses 8 and 9. Remember, there is the Apostle John, and he is getting all this great vision of the end times. He now sees the city of heaven coming down from God to men, and as he is coming to the end of the book of the Revelation, he bows down to worship the angel who has revealed these things to him. And in verse 9, the angel says to John, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." And then the angel says this emphatically, "Worship God. Worship God." Now, I've made a big deal out of that because there are people even in this day and age who worship angels. There are religious systems that worship angels. That is wrong. That is sinful. It's not a choice that you and I have to make or not make. We cannot say, well, that's what they choose to do. That's okay. No, it's not okay. It's wrong. It's wrong. So make sure that you have that down in your minds when it comes to these spiritual creatures. They are not to be worshipped. We mentioned that angels have two primary purposes. The first is just what the angel said to John. Their purpose, first and foremost, by the way, is to worship God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." Who's the him? Jesus Christ. The whole argument of the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 1, is that Jesus Christ is superior to the angelic being. And later on, he's superior to Moses in the law, and so forth throughout the book. And he says all those angels that were created worship Jesus Christ. I was reading this morning in my personal time in the book of Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah chapter 9, the sixth verse, the very last part of the verse, and we're going to look at this verse a little bit later here. It says, "And the host of heaven worshipeth thee." The host of heaven. And the host of heaven are the angels. Also, these angels not only have the purpose of worshiping God, but again, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 1, they are to minister to the saints. So last week we ended by mentioning different examples of Christians in the Word of God that have had ministry from angels to them. We see a bunch of examples, Old and New Testament. We're not going to go back and do that again. But I ended last week with a verse, Hebrews chapter 13, and the second verse, and it says this, "Be not forgetful to entertain angels," or strangers, rather. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." In other words, they didn't realize that the people they were encountering were actually angels. They weren't just human beings. Now, they appeared to be human in form, but nevertheless, these were angelic creatures. Now, we see that example in Abraham. Remember, he is in his tent door sitting there, and these three men walk up. One is actually the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. We find that out in the text itself. And the other two are angels. But when Abraham converses with them, he assumes, at least at the beginning, that they're just men, strangers that have come, and he's going to do what was custom in those days, what should be custom in our days, it is not so much now, and that is to entertain those people. You remember how he fixed the feast for them and all that. And then Lot, those same angels that had been with the Lord with Abraham now go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they meet Lot, and Lot assumed that these were just men. And he invites them into their home, entertain strangers. They come in, and they have that encounter. Of course, he found out the next day these were not just men. These were angelic creatures. And then remember when Samson was born, Manoah and his wife, an angel came and announced to Manoah's wife that she was going to have a son. And of course, she runs out to the field, who's working outside, and tells him, hey, this man came and said, we're going to have a son. And so the next day or so, Manoah and the wife would ask, they asked God to send this man back so they could talk further to him to get instruction. And that's where he found out that he was actually an angel. In fact, he says in the text, he said, I knew not that this was an angel. And he was so fearful that he thought he was going to be struck dead because he had seen, you know, someone that had come from God. Of course, his wife says, God's not going to kill you. He just told you we're going to have a baby. He didn't send him here to kill you. He sent him here to bless us. So in those situations, you find in the Bible times where God's children were around angels and did not realize until later that they were angels. Of course, we gave you some examples. One of those was when I was at Bob Jones University, a freshman there, and one of the guys had crashed a motorcycle over a mountainside, and you know how this man just came out of the middle of nowhere and knelt down beside him, put his hand on him and said, you're going to be okay, and then just kind of went off. And sure enough, he survived. So there are times that you could, I wouldn't look for this. I mean, don't look every time you see someone, oh, there's an angel, because you don't know that. But you could possibly, because that's the admonition here in Hebrews 13:2. Sometimes you may entertain an angel and not realize who it is. So you better do right to people because you could encounter an angel. And then we're going to pick up tonight with this thought. And of course, this is a study, so I'm presenting it as a study. And that is that angels are created beings. Angels are created beings. Now, you go in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. I may have gotten into this a little bit last week, but this verse especially, again, when I was reading my Bible this morning, this verse was part of what I read, and it is a tremendous verse, outstanding, and one I would take your pen and underline it. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. There's a lot of different reasons for appreciating this one particular verse. It says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The host of heaven worshipeth thee. Now you go back to the top of the verse, and he said that the Lord made, the Lord created heaven. Now you got to determine what heaven is he referring to, because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there are three heavens. There is the heaven, the atmosphere that surrounds the globe. There is what we would call outer space, that is the second heaven, and what Paul referred to as the third heaven. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven. And here it's referred to as the heaven of heavens. Revelation chapter 22 talks about the city of heaven where God dwells coming down. So there are three levels of what we would call the heavens. And people refer to the sky as the heavens all the time. They refer to outer space as the heavens all the time. That's not unusual historically. And here he distinguishes especially the third heaven. And he says about this, that in this heaven of heavens is a host. You're going to find the word host mentioned constantly in the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. And when you look at the definition of the word host, it means army. Or if you would, an army of soldiers. In the Bible, the Old Testament, there are 273 verses that have this title of God. the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that as you read it, what that means. Of course, we know what the Lord is. It's all capitalized, therefore it's referring to Jehovah, Jehovah. The Lord, or Jehovah of hosts. Again, the word hosts means armies. So what the phrase means, the Lord of hosts, it means the Lord of the armies of heaven. The Lord of the armies of heaven. I give you one verse, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, he's repetitive there. He's driving home something to Israel, who has come back into Judah to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city. They had been oppressed by the Samaritan army. They had been lied about, and they had a long season in which they were forced to stop construction. They got really discouraged, and they did what most of us do when we get discouraged. We start looking inwardly. We start to doubt God. We start to cut out on God in our responsibilities, and that happened to those Jewish people. God sent Haggai, and he sent Zechariah to fire them back up and get them back where they needed to be, and God worked through those men. Zechariah, in his writings through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously refers to God as the Lord of the armies of heaven. So I think he's saying this: forget about the Samaritan army. Forget about the empire of Persia. I'm in charge. Forget about those armies. I got an army that is far greater. And you just need to focus on me. And almost every time as I've read through the Old Testament, when I see the term Lord of hosts, he is always dealing with his people and trying to make those people see his power in very difficult circumstances, almost every single time. Or I'm sure there's some variation to that, why he refers to that. But you look at that, and when you read through the Old Testament, you just look at that phrase and how it is used in each verse. It's pretty amazing. So here are these created beings, and he says this host was made by him in the heaven of heavens. We're not told exactly when they're made, but we are told that they were made, they were created. Now, that's news to some people. There are some people who would just assume, well, God is eternal, Jesus Christ is eternal, the Holy Spirit's eternal, and the... No, the angels are not eternal. They had a distinct beginning, just like you and I. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and you're welcome to turn there if you want, or at least listen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This created entity called the angels take on, in a sense, a new responsibility. They are to worship God. They are to minister to God's people. And now you see them in the light of being warriors. Being warriors. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church of Thessalonica had been persecuted heavily. And so, as Paul writes to them, he said, here's what God wants you to know. Those people who have caused you to have so much suffering, God's going to deal with them. God's going to deal with them. Well, that's also a warning. If you have an uncle, or you got a cousin, or you got a next door neighbor, or you got anybody in your life that you are concerned about, God is a God of love. God is also the God of judgment. He's also called the God of wrath. And you cannot have a God of love without having those other aspects of his attributes and character. And so we're told here in this passage in 2 Thessalonians 1 that those who do not know God, God is going to take vengeance upon them. Vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In Romans chapter 9, I believe it is. So you and I, if we got people we know that are not saved, If we really believe that Jesus could come back and come back soon, and more people seem to be convinced that it is soon, then we need to do something and not just wait, because there may not be opportunity. I want you to go back to 2 Kings. Look at 2 Kings, and I want you to look at chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and look at verses 15 through 17. Elisha is the prophet of Israel. Elisha has thwarted the Syrian king and his armies. And when he finds out that it is actually Elisha advising the king of Israel on how to overcome the Syrian traps, when he finds out that this prophet is forewarning the king, he sends the army to the city to capture Elisha. And in verse 15 it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host," now notice that term, the Syrian army is referred to as a host, "an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And a servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." It's interesting that he allowed him to see that, although that was not the method by which God delivered Elisha in that city. Remember, they were smitten with blindness, and he actually leads the Syrian army into Samaria, right up to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said, should I smite them? Should I smite them? And Elisha says, you don't smite the people that you've taken prisoner. And so they end up letting the men go back to Syria. But the point being, you have this man's eyes, the servant of Elisha's eyes, open to see this massive angelic army, which reassured him. Several years ago, there was a missionary somewhere in Africa who had an issue in which their life was under threat. And the night where they were being surrounded by a number of men and they were going to go in and kill this missionary and his family, they began to pray, and they said these people just kind of left. They just kind of quickly ran away. Later on, he found out, met someone, whether it was from that group or someone who knew someone in that group, and they said, why did you not go ahead and kill this family? Why did you not go ahead and finish your attack? They said that these men just appeared. He said they were huge men, and they were surrounding this compound where this missionary lived. And when we saw them, it's like, well, we can't overcome them, and it so caused them to be afraid. They ran off. Now that's a true story. I don't remember the missionary's name, but I've heard that on different occasions. I mean, just similar to what you find here. Now, how often do people see angels? Well, you know, very seldom, if hardly ever at all. And again, back in Hebrews 13, he says, normally, if you do see them, you don't know they're angels because they would appear in human form. You wouldn't know that. By the way, Satan does the same thing. That's what Paul taught. His ministers appear as what? Angels of light. They appear like a preacher. Uh-oh. Well, anyway, we'll go on from that. So, this is just another angelic responsibility, not just worshiping God, not just ministering to the saints, but in an attitude of warfare. And of course, when you get into the book of Revelation, when we come to the end time, you see that magnified, because one of the responsibility of angels will be in warfare. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, this is an interesting verse. This is what he said. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels." So Michael goes to war with Satan and those angels that fell. Remember what Jesus said. We mentioned this last week about how Jesus ministered and how the angels ministered to Jesus, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane and in the wilderness after he had gone for 40 days and 40 nights without food. And he said to those men, the temple guards who had come out to arrest him that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to them, you realize I could call 12 legions of angels. And we mentioned at that time when Jesus lived, a legion, the number of, in the legion varied over the course of history, but at that time it was 6,000 men. He said, I could call 12 legions. I could call 72,000 angels. In fact, I wonder if they were there. Because remember what happened when those temple guards approached Jesus? And he looks at Judas and says, friend, wherefore art thou come? You remember all those men just immediately fell back. It's like someone had gone up to them and done this. You know, when you're off balance, when you're not bracing yourself and somebody comes up and does this, what are you going to do? You're going to fall flat on your back. Huh. I wonder if there were some angels who were starting to jump the gun a little bit. And when they saw those people come and they knew exactly what was going to happen to them. There was already an angel there, we know that, because when he was praying, the Bible says an angel ministered to the Lord. I wonder if they were there ready to go to war. I wonder if God the Father had to say, no, 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 not now. It'll come, not now. Let my purpose be fulfilled. It makes you wonder, In Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 and 50, you find these words, so shall it be at the end of the world. Now, I think this end of the world refers to right after the tribulation has concluded. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you don't believe in hell, you don't believe God. If you're willing to believe in heaven, then you have to believe in hell. Jesus preached more on the subject of hell than he did on the subject of heaven. It was real to him. If it's real to him, it needs to be real to us. And he said, at the end of the world, I think this period will be right at the conclusion of those 7 years of tribulation. There is going to be this judgment, and they are going to be cast in hells, and those who have lived through the tribulation and so forth, and they will cast those people, as he refers to it, as the furnace of fire. Now, as we come near the end of this, I think I'm just going to stop because I don't want to rush through this and we're pushing 8 o'clock now. So there's something I really want to get into this tonight. I wish we could have started earlier. But I'll call it the rank of angels. There are a lot of religious systems that have a ranking of angels. Or maybe you could refer to it as the hierarchy of angels. There's seraphim, there's cherubim, there is thrones, there's dominions, there's principalities, there's powers, there are archangels, there are angels. And through different religious councils in ancient history, they would sit around and they would determine a rank of angels. And so we're going to take a look at that next week. There's some interesting things in there that I think you'll be interested in. So we'll just wait and not try to rush through this because I want to make sure I get that down for you so you can really contemplate it, think about it. So again, this is a study. This isn't preaching. This is a study just to help us have a little better knowledge. One thing we ought to know, the whole counsel of God. And so a lot of people are messed up when it comes to the thought of angels. I'll just share this much with you. Do angels have wings? Most people would say yes. The Bible says no, they do not. They do not have wings. Now there are angelic creatures that have wings, so I guess you could say in part they're right. But when angels appeared, they did not appear with wings. They did not hover over the manger with wings. They did not minister to the Lord Jesus, and have wings on their back. Remember, they always appeared as in the form of men. So that is just something that you say that's not that big of a deal. No, I guess that in a sense is not a big deal. But it's when we take that attitude that we begin to just accept things that are not scripturally accurate. And that's where people get messed up in their doctrine. Because we start accepting things that just cannot biblically be proven or that the Word of God just says is not correct. So next week, we'll take a look at that as we definitely will conclude next week. We just don't have enough time to do that. So as we close here tonight, just want you to, if you can, stay for a few minutes early. Actually, it's only 7:53. If you can stay and pray for a few minutes, take time to pray. There's plenty to pray about and plenty to praise the Lord for, too. We got a lot to praise the Lord for. So take opportunity to do that tonight. I was just reminded again when we were at the prayer advance that when we enter into his throne room, it ought to begin with praise, ought to begin with thanksgiving, ought to begin with adoration. So many times we're just quick to jump to begin to ask God for things. And maybe you just need to take a few minutes to love on God tonight. Take a few minutes just to thank him. Just the fact that we made it through another day. That's something to praise the Lord for. So take some time tonight to pray, and then we will look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. And hopefully that ice and snowstorm that's coming in will actually only be an inch, and will happen on Friday, so we'll have a good day on Sunday. All righty, we'll go ahead to prayer.